हरिः ॐ सहनावावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 20. Activity number 8. So this is Avideya. Activities that are prompted by urge for sensuous enjoyment create the discordant diversity of this world. Right? So in the spiritual world you have diversity, but it's not discordant because it's all about Krishna. Right? Prabhupada gives the example when you throw one pebble into the pond, you get concentric rings coming out. They don't bump into each other. So it works harmoniously. So in the material world, it's like you throw a handful of rocks in, so then all these different circles bump into each other. So that's discordant diversity. So the spiritual world has diversity, unlimited diversity, but it's not discordant. Right? So here is because of the different centers, it doesn't matter what you do, it will be discordant. Like Prabhupada was saying yesterday in the Nectar Devotion, that even you have the United Nations in that, because of the differences in what their goals are and their self-centeredness, it still will, there'll still be problem. Right? Because that's the root. You saw the external you may adjust, but because the internal mood is wrong, therefore there'll still be some discordance. One who is addicted to worldly enjoyment has a deluded way of looking at everything. Right? Because they'll look at everything, how can I enjoy this? Right? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used the term for the materialists, the gaze of sensuous inspection. So when they look, then they inspect what they're looking to see what they can sensually get from it. When a person has established in proper activity of his unalloyed spiritual nature towards his transcendental master, the only recipient of all willing service in the eternal world, the true view of everything is revealed to his serving vision. There can be no ignorance and misery if the world is viewed aright. Right, so that ignorance is the cause of all the disturbance, right? Because of ignorance, then you have the attachment, and then endeavoring for the attachment, then you have all the problems, right? Because as we were seeing yesterday, is that you have the ignorance. That avidya means you don't see things connected to Krishna, so you don't see them in a proper way. Then from that, then you have the bija, right? Which means that material desires that can be the unlimited variety. Then you go into your specific karma, and then you have the karma itself, including the, what do you call it, that kutaj, which is then the potential for, you know, starting karma. Does that make sense? So the whole thing is that the last thing to go is that ignorance. Because that's then the aspect that I'm not... I see everything in the proper view, like you said here. The true view of everything is revealed to the serving vision. So when the devotee has the only recipient of all willing service, you know, it's Krishna, then this view becomes revealed. Right? So it's not that one has to finish, then the next. They're all going down, but you see is that the longest standing is the one that started from the spiritual world. The anadi, right? That we want to see things separate from Krishna. So that'll be the subtlest. So much will go, but then there'll be, like it says, the devotees have no desire to enjoy anything. So that means so much is reduced that they can function on that level and don't see that way. But in Krishna's pastimes, then the subtlety is so much that then that's removed in the pastimes. It's not removed here. Does that make sense? Yeah. 9. The urge for sensuous enjoyment expresses itself in the institutions of family and society of worldly-minded persons. They are traps of the deluding energy. But these very traps are used as instrument of service to the absolute by the awakened soul. So family and society, all these aspects, they control the living entity. Because all of his desires he wants to fulfill through these features. But now, for the devotee, then he sees them in connection to Krishna and uses them as service to Krishna. So they become instruments of service. Right? In the beginning, maybe not, as we were discussing before, is that in the beginning, one takes up the service, one has that faith. You know, the faith is smaller, but it's there. And so you engage in the direct activities of devotional service. Right? But then with time, you start to see the secondary aspects or the institutions of family and society. You know, all that goes with it, the money, the this, the positions. And then you start to see that connected to Krishna. So then the indirect becomes connected. So the most important is that the direct is connected, because that's the whole point. The indirect is subservient to the direct anyway. It never becomes prominent. Right? So the whole idea is you start there. So you see Srila Prabhupada, they start there. When devotees first start, they start with direct. And then as they are purified, they can accommodate engaging the indirect, then that's engaged. But if not, if they're just engaging the direct, then it works very nicely. They'll advance. Doesn't mean that there's not going to be problems, but they'll advance. Does that make sense? Then when they accept the directions of the Vedas, there'll be less problems. When they see it connected to Krishna, that's where the problems go away. Yes.
Somehow, Maharaj, with the years, the approach in preaching shifted. And then nowadays, many preachers, they start with indirect and then trying to bring it into the direct. So,
as long as they can do it, that's all right. You know, it's just a matter of however it's going to work. If you can get it to work, you can do. But the point is what we always bring up is that your presentation about the direct, you should be talking about direct through the medium of indirect. Because the point is that indirect is only to attract them. But the point is at some point they have to be engaged in devotional service. So if we focus on the indirect and just basically talk about the indirect, then these individuals who might find that there's something interesting there will get surprised when they find out it's not about the indirect. It's about the direct.
Yeah.
You know, then it's a problem.
So they might lose the interest.
Then you might lose the interest. You know, that's the whole point is, let's say, I think Prabhupada gave the example is that let's say we're using the rock music as the medium to attract attention.
Yeah.
And so then you have all these, I think Prabhupada, I forget what the word he mentioned, but he said something about like mystical words or something like that. You know, they're kind of like this mystical poetry that they say. And so they may like that, but then they come in contact and then they find out it's about kirtan and we don't do that, then they might not be interested. You know, so the point is that there must be that aspect that very quickly you bring, because I've seen very successful preacher in this, preaching in the professional field, professionals, new age, you know, alternative, all that kind of area. And people come, and he'll start off in that angle, but by the end of 2 hours, the program, they're all chanting Hare Krishna, doing kirtan, and taking prasad, and they know what they're doing. And so many people join. He has an ashram for them, and like this. And when I mean professionals, I mean they are, you know, well situated, like that. So the point is there has to be this mix, is that you have to have kirtan, you have to have prasad, and then other aspects they'll catch with time. But you have, if you're talking about the philosophy, that is a neutral state. Does that make sense? The spirituality is the neutral state.
Yeah.
Like that. But if you're talking about the apara vidya, that's not neutral. That's within the material. It may be more subtle than what they're used to. You know, like that. Or if it, nowadays a new age subtle is pretty normal. You know, I don't think it's weird at all. So so the point is if you may use examples within this metaphysic, within these subtle kind of aspects of these higher stuff, but then you have to bring it through the metaphysical, the spiritual, to the transcendental. So the point is that the chanting and all that, you see Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there hasn't been a verse here that hasn't been directly Vedanta philosophy. But the wording that he uses are words that would have been used at that time by the intellectuals and leaders of the Indian society or the British society. You know, how you say British or how you say British influenced Indian society. So he was directly dealing, but you see, it's how he, because this all makes sense. He presents it in a very logical way. You know, you say is that you're doing these things, and then okay, we want to enjoy. The people want to enjoy eternally. That's what people want. You open with that. Who's not going to want that? The difficulty is we're making the endeavors, we're not getting the satisfaction we want. Something's missing there. Then you bring out the aspect of, you know, that you can either, you know, go into the aspect that we're the soul, we're not the body, and that's why the problem is. So even though, let's say, functioning in the family duties and in society and doing these things, you know, have their place, you know, and have their value. But the only thing is that still it doesn't nourish the soul. So then you have to have something spiritual going on. These other things will take care of the body, but they won't take care of the soul. And we're the soul, not the body. That's the problem, is because the body will end. We want it to be eternal. It's not. So therefore, we have to include this spiritual. And then if we're looking at it seriously, the spiritual, then you have to look at the aspect is that why not solve this problem of birth and death? Otherwise, why is it no living entity wants to die? Even their animals or bugs, they still don't want to die. You know, so you want to make a solution to that. So this birth, death, old age and disease get in the way of us eternally enjoying. Therefore, we have to connect ourselves with the transcendental platform. We're covered by this. We have attached material attachment. And that distracts us. We get misery from that. Some fleeting pleasure, misery. But we, as souls and all living entities, think that, no, this should bring us happiness. So why is that? Because that must mean that there is a transcendental platform on which you can engage in activities seeming, you know, like this, you know, relationships and all that, but that have an eternal platform. Right? So then eternal, that means you're dealing with the Supreme. So then a relationship with the Supreme and other living entities based on that context. So then the Vedas recommend for that, then we have the process of chanting. Different ages, then there's different processes for self-realization. So this age, then this chanting. And of chanting, then this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the recommended mantra. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the whole point is, you know, and so therefore then you start them chanting. You have a nice tune, something that's simple but very nice, and you present it nicely, get them chanting. Like that, you have Prashad, you explain about Prashad, how, you know, everything's be God, God's everything, He controls all these things, so we get something, and so then out of that gratefulness, then we, whatever we get, we offer to the Lord. And so then that offer we take, and that gives that spiritual. So in this way, then by the mantra, by the mind, by the food, by the interactions, the etiquette, in this way we become spiritualized. And that way, self-realization becomes a whole lifestyle that includes whatever we're doing. It's not a separate lifestyle. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of understanding that this is what we're dealing with, and so therefore just go into it. That it's not a problem.
Yeah.
But if we're thinking, oh, it's so different from what they do, we're simply looking at it externally. But the point is even you do exactly what they do, they won't like it because they want to be unique and individual. So there's no such thing as everybody does exactly what everyone else does. You just find how to connect them in their position to Krishna. So that's the preaching. That's what we see all the acharyas do. You know, and as you're saying, is that we're going through the different literatures, and what before looked very technical now doesn't look technical. It looks very practical. So that's the point. If you study the works of the acharyas, then you see how that practically applies in their life. Because you say they don't want to hear to not enjoy, but we're talking about why this temporary enjoyment, why not eternal enjoyment? You understand? You know, so that's the, you're just switching them from you're just exposing them to the spiritual view. That's what attracts the attention, is that different perspective. Otherwise, then, yeah, you go from one secondary perspective to another, to another, to another, and, you know, and everybody moves around. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then that approach, you can start with that, but you can't, that can't be your progress. And otherwise, they get attached too. Like those that say who do preaching, you know, in this kind of new age kind of thing, and they use vegan as a basis. Then the people are vegans. So you attract the vegans. Then they take up devotional service. But then if they want to get serious and be involved in the temple or anything with the other devotees rather than their own private life, they expect everything to be vegan. Krishna's got to be vegan, the temple's vegan, the whole program's vegan, everything's vegan. So it's not as much about Krishna consciousness. It means they've added Krishna consciousness. So in other words, Krishna consciousness is an anga of their being a vegan. Not being a vegan is an anga of self-realization. So then there's going to be a clash there. And so if they're able to cross that and come to the point of what's pure devotion, then they'll do fine. But if they're attached to their being vegan, then they're going to have a problem when they find out, well, actually, we're vegetarian, not vegans. And then they'll try to be showing how, no, you should be vegan. So to now make everyone vegan, you have to prove that being a vegetarian is bad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so then that's the problem. And their basis for that is they've defined that vegan is good. Otherwise, where is it mentioned that vegan is the thing to do?
It's speculative.
It's speculative. They say, okay, but we want to be non-violent. Okay, that's nice. Like that. But being non-violent is giving up the negative. Where's the positive? Because it's... means a vegan is non-violent, so they do not disturb animals. But they're not animal supporters.
Right.
So there's no positive. So it's less than being vegetarian.
Yeah.
Where it's you're non-violent and supportive of animals.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a step. Now for the karmis, you find someone who's a vegan. Now that's good. That means they think, they have something, they can restrict themselves. You know, and so unless they were born that way, then, you know, they put in some effort. And depending upon their circles, then there's going to be some distraction from that, because a lot of people aren't going to be, you know, vegans. Like that. But the difficulty comes is, yes, they're higher than the meat eaters. But they're lower than the vegetarians. So they attack the meat eaters and they attack the vegetarians. And there's probably a good chance, depending on where they are, they'll spend more time attacking vegetarians than meat eaters. Because, one, there's very few restaurants that are going to be vegan that serve meat. Right? You have restaurants, right? You won't have that. No. So... When do you talk about being vegan? Right? One, all the time. But other than that, when you're eating. So if everyone's vegan, then you can talk about it there. Nice. If they're meat eaters, then it's not going to happen. So it's that. So, but you do have restaurants that are vegan and vegetarian, right? So therefore, then you can harass the vegetarians. You know what I'm saying? So the problem comes is that then it becomes an impediment to devotional service because it's favorable for a materialist, but it's not favorable for a devotee. Because then they're putting mundane restrictions on something. Because if, when it's connected to Krishna, that's what makes it perfect. But they're taking, no, if it's according to our philosophy, it's perfect. You know what I'm saying? So that's going to be a weakness. Or you use the Ayurveda, or you use the astrology, they'll have the same problems. Because we would prefer to use Ayurveda if we have the facility. If you have proper doctors, proper medicines, and all of that, then why we wouldn't use it? It's the recommended. But if it's not there, we will use other things. But if someone's joining Krishna consciousness just because of Ayurveda, then they won't. And they'll think it's wrong. You understand? So to attract them, that might be the starting, but if at some point you don't bring them across and show them the higher understanding, which is where the work is, then the problem is you have all these groups that are devotees, but at the same time, it's not about pure devotional service. Because they're unwilling to give up their own attachments. You know what I'm saying? So what was seemingly something that brought them in the door is then there's a stumbling block. You know, that's why when devotees, like you say, back with the hippies, they moved into the temple, they shaved up. Because otherwise, they didn't shave up, they would remain hippies. Because being a hippie is all about your hair. You have short hair. You're not a hippie. It's just that's it. That's the totalities of, you know. You know. Yeah, so that's the whole thing, is that it's just the external is all they have. So if they don't do that, they don't have an identity. So if you haven't given them the identity that they're devotees, then you'll see that there'll be this aggressiveness about their mentality. You know, like everybody else, because it has that hostility. If you're hostile towards Krishna, you're hostile in general. You know what I'm saying? So one has to be careful in using the tools that one doesn't... You know what I'm saying? Let's say I want to grate the potatoes. Using the graters... It's very good. But now I want to fry the potatoes, I can't use the grater anymore. I have to give up the grater and use the frying pan. Right? So soft preaching is, I use the grater to grate the potatoes, and then I try to fry the potatoes with the grater. Right? Hard preaching is, I use the frying pan for frying the potatoes, but I also use the frying pan for smashing the potatoes into little pieces and then frying them in the pan. You understand? Because neither of them is really understanding the cooking. So preaching is understanding the cooking. And therefore, where you need the grater, you use that. Where the frying pan, you use that. Because it's about cooking. It's not about the instruments. Does that make sense? And where you're not grading, you cut it. Or if not, then, like now, as I say, it's just after the new potatoes. So you have when you go potatoes, you get big and small. So the little dinky potatoes, you don't bother peeling them. You just put them in the sabji like that. And so, you know, you don't have to use a knife or a peeler, right? You know, or a grater. You just, as it is. I say, as it is potato. Does that make sense? So it's a matter of maturity, because the work you have to do, there's no easy method. It's just a matter of where you're going to put in the work. But if you just get it up to a certain point and then figure, okay, now it's done. But that's the point of cultivation. Because generally speaking, we don't cultivate Krishna consciousness. We practice Krishna consciousness, but we're not cultivating.
What would be the difference?
Cultivating, you're actually thinking about it and trying to understand it and how it applies in your life and improve it.
and practice would be mechanical.
Can be mechanical. Though, even mechanical practice of actual devotional service, means bona fide, you know, coming in parampara, is always going to be effective.
Yeah.
But if you understand what you're doing, it's much more. Because that's why manana means you're contemplating and practicing. So they hear, they're convinced, they practice, but they don't contemplate. So then the problem comes is that deep realization is slowed down. So some will contemplate, not practice. Some will practice, not contemplate. Right? But a Haridas Thakur, he's the Acharya because he did both. So,
Maharaj, when we say that friendship, society, and love is
yes.
a problem, you know, in this world,
yes.
How can we transcend that?
By seeing that in the context of the spiritual position, means if everybody's worried about society, friendship, and love,
yes.
that must mean there's some substance here to the concept.
Yes.
But everybody wants society, friendship, and love. But no one is satisfied with it. So that means there must be, that principle has to have some value, but the method we're going about it has some weakness. Does that make sense? So then, that's why in the Vedas it's about understanding who we are. Because who wants society, friendship, and love? The body's dead matter. Right? It's the soul. So that means the soul wants that, but they're going about it through the external body, and they're not getting the satisfaction they want, because the senses actually aren't theirs. They're using the covered senses. And so, on the mental platform, you say this is nice or not nice and this and that, but an actual satisfaction for the soul is not there. So that means there must be an original position in which the soul can engage in these aspects of what we call society, friendship, and love. But it's eternal, and it acts on and it gives satisfaction to the soul. Right? But now the soul being part and parcel of the Supreme, that means it has to be in connection with the Supreme. They themselves on their own are unable to affect it. So it's by connecting, and even they get together as groups, it still doesn't happen. So that means they have to connect with the Supreme. Then, since everything's coming from the Supreme, you have naturally that society, friendship, and love based on that connection or relationship with the Supreme. You understand? So we're explaining here science. But you're explaining it, in this case, through the medium of their attachment for society, friendship, and love. Because where does it come from? But it comes from the relationship of the soul with God. But neglecting that, then we're trying to apply it here. You know what I'm saying? So that's the principle. Is that this personal aspect, then that is what's natural in the soul. Like you see children. They're very personal. And so, if you want them to like something, it should have a face on it. And it should smile. And for them, that's great company. You know, so they're inherently personal. So if you train them in that personal way and how to do, they'll remain that way. But if not, then they go through and they lose that, and then they become skeptical, and even they have relationships, need relationships, want relationships, they can't trust them. You know, and even if they do, it takes years and years, and it's a whole drama. You can make a whole series out of it, like that, before they finally surrender and all that. You know, and then that's if everything works out. One of the two doesn't get cancer or something. You know, get run over by a truck. Or, you know what I'm saying? It's just that's the problem. Or you know, it's great, and then foreign power then invades, and then you know you get separated. You know, I mean, there's just story after story after story. It's just, you know, so therefore, then who does it work out for, right? Except maybe Cinderella, but you know what I'm saying. So that's the point: is people are looking for that. You know, so that's the whole difficulty. That's what they want. but it's not found here. So you have to show them that there's another, the original reality. That's where it's from. So it's not even heaven. You know, you'll come back from there. It's the spiritual world. Is that something? So you explain it logically when you see an opening and all that, then you do. You know, if it's that people come to hear you speak, then you can get through to it. If you just meet somebody and start talking, then you have to see with the mentality where you can get through. Is that something? Ten, the hymns of the Bhagavata always reveal the eternal service of the Absolute on the highest plane, identical with the personality of Sri Gaurasundara to the enlightened soul. The language of Srimad Bhagavatam reveals its true meaning only to the enlightened soul. That meaning is very different from what even the most renowned linguists may suppose it to be in their blind, empiric vanity. Blind, empiric vanity. That's really nice. So the Bhagavat reveals it's the topmost platform. It's the same as, and it reveals Krishna, who is the same as Lord Chaitanya, who's revealing the same thing. Right? It means that he is a preacher of the Bhagavat. And so then it doesn't matter how intelligent you are, how much you know, what a great linguist you are, that it still will not be able to show what is being seen by the devotees. Like that. The nature of transcendental Braja Leela. 11. The Bhagavat gives the highest position to the service of Sri Krishna by the gopis of Vrindavan. In its account of the Rasa dance, it gives a clue to the distinctive nature of the services of Sri Radhika and the other milkmaids. 12. Sri Krishna is served by Sri Radhika by herself and simultaneously by her multiple bodily forms in the shapes of the residents of Braja. So she personally is serving and through her expansions. Just like Krishna is receiving that and then his expansions. The services of the other milkmaids, of Nanda and Jashoda, of Sridhama and Sudama, and of all the associates and servitors of Krishna and Braja are part and parcel of the service of Sri Radhika. The services of the other milkmaids, of Nanda and Jashoda, of Sridhama and Sudam, and of all the associate servitors of Krishna and Braja are part and parcel of the service of Sri Radhika. So in other words, all the residents of Vrindavan, they're all serving Radharani. They're doing their services to Krishna. So it's where, in other words, everybody's serving Radharani. It's just how what you want to take part in, what aspects. So Nanda and Jashoda, they want to take part in the parental aspects. Does that make sense? You know, like we said yesterday, is that if we're going to go through it, you have Radha and Krishna. Okay? And they interact themselves as the complete whole and the complete energy. Right? But that's, what do they do? Means that their existence itself is going to create a particular flavor. But that's expanded by, through the activities, right? Hence Abhideya. Right? So now, to do that, then you have activities. Activities require time and space. Or place, you know? Like that. Then circumstances, because there's going to be others there. So if it's just the two of you doing something, it's one. But when you expand it, it's more. So therefore, then, with the expansion of all the different devotees, it creates the environment of Vrindavan in which now they can interact, and there's so much variety. So everybody is serving Radharani. Does that make sense? But it's not brought to the forefront there, but that's the actual point. So the whole point of Braj Leela is Radha and Krishna. Right? So that's why we see in the Rasa dance, that's the first thing that has to be worked out with all those gopis, is that it's about Radha and Krishna. And then they're taking part and expanding on that. Yes? No? Mm-hmm. Yeah. 13. Sri Gurudev belongs to this inner group of servitors. He is the divine manifested entity for disclosing the forms and activities of all eternal servitors of Sri Krishna. The function of Sri Gurudev is a fundamental fact in the Leela of Braja, where Sri Krishna is served as the emporium of all the rasas. It's interesting, emporium of rasa. The servitors of Braja minister to the gratification of the senses of Krishna in every way. Sri Gurudev is the divine exciting agent of the serving activity of Braja. Right? So we're inspired through the instructions given by the acharyas. Like, how do we know about this? So it means the divine manifested entity for disclosing the forms and activities of all eternal servitors of Sri Krishna. Like, how do we know this aspect that all the different residents of Vrindavan, whatever rasa, they're only there as part and parcel of the service of Sri Radhika? That's being revealed by Sri Gurudev. Yes.
All right, the immediate projection is that where is this, such a personality is in our life? Is it Diksha Guru? Is it Shiksha Guru? Is it Srila Prabhupada? Rupa Goswami?
Why does it have to be one single person exclusive and all the other ones are useless?
Because that's easy to realize.
Yes, but that's neophyte, and so therefore they won't understand it. Hence, the point has not been been. Devotees are confused since basically taking up this mentality since the beginning. Right? Because it's never been. Individuals may correct it, but in general, it's not a corrected consciousness. Because it's easy. They have determination. They have focus like that. It's all happening. Let it run. But the point is how many years will it run before then it starts to get, not focused anymore. So the point is you have to understand is that you're working with all these devotees and it's through the parampara to Krishna. Krishna's the guru. So is he okay? Okay. Then we see here is they're all serving Radharani. Right? She's good, right? Then we're serving that under Rupa Goswami. He's cool, right? Then, like that with the others, Jivan, the other Goswamis, the other Acharyas, like this, they're good, no? Okay, down to Srila Prabhupada is the founder Acharya. Right. So now, if that is that perfection of what we're talking about here, then how do we connect to that? Right? We connect to those senior devotees or advanced devotees that we find they are able to give us relevant instruction to appreciate what Prabhupada and therefore through Prabhupada's teaching what the previous acharyas headed by Rupa Goswami are saying. So where's the problem? Where's the anxiety? Because the focus is on Prabhupada's instructions.
The anxiety is that how can we be broad-minded, as you explained right now, and also remain loyal? That's the anxiety.
It's because if you talk like this from day one, there's no problem.
Yes. Day one, but nobody discussed this kind of thing.
Yeah, but you see those who, they do get exposed from day one, it works.
Really?
Never seen? I can think of a few. What do you call it? The chairman of the 2 meter club. What's his name? He generally sits there. Tirkadamba. He was a new devotee. But that's the point is he heard that from the beginning. It works.
Yes. Yes.
That's the point is it works. The kids, they hear it, it works. They're different. You know, you see the kids, they're there, they're spaced out, and when they get serious, they find guru, they get initiated, they move forward. So it's something that can be done. And we've seen it since that time of, you know, whenever everything started going funny from 78, on through, especially in 86, this was applied, and those who went through it, those zones went fine. Mayapur didn't take a dip. Australia didn't take a dip. Other places crashed and burned because they would not, they refused to use this system. Because our system is, you preach the Madhyama philosophy. You make it relevant for the neophyte. But there the official policy was, everyone's neophyte, we're going to deal on a neophyte platform. And it crashed and burned badly. So now it's just you don't talk about it and then everything's great. Yeah. But they're not Swedish, so it doesn't work. Right? So that's the whole point. You discover, and it works. The point is what's the, Vedanta always works. It's eternal. So you just have to talk like this from the beginning. You always talk like this. Questions come up, you always talk like this. And over the years, then people start to see. And you see those areas that is there, then they do well. They're strong. So that's the point. It works. So having that faith, then we apply it, and then we'll see. We'll get that result. You know, because it's not. It's that's the whole the interesting thing of Vaishnavism. It's exclusive, but it's open for everybody.
At that point is.
But you have to talk. You just have to talk it. Chinta beta beta tattva. At some point, they have to kind of, you know, appreciate it. But you have in Sambandha, you have chit achit and ishwar, right? And you have the definitions.
Yeah.
And devotees will get the definitions down many times good, many times not. But generally, you know, that's not generally the main point. But the point is how are those three held together as a relationship? How is that defined? The chinta beta beta tattva. So it has to be understood that this is our philosophy. That's how we hold together those three. Because everybody has a definition of those three. And they have a way they hold them together. So this is how we hold it together. And this is how you hold together the philosophy for the Brajbasis. So basically, if you want to get into Goloka, you have to use the chinta beta beta tattva. Like that. Means easily. It means you could get in through some of the others also, but you'll only get the lower Goloka. You'll never get to Braja. Using any of the other ones, you will not get to Braja. You'll only get to lower Goloka. But with Achinta Veda Veda Tattva, that will take you through to Braja. So if that's discussed from the very beginning, but the point is those first years, people are willing to listen to anything. So if you're teaching them then why they won't know? So, does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole point. So Sri Guru Dev is Krishna and his representatives. Right? And so we have to find a living Sri Guru Dev that we actually have a connection and relationship with, who's going to connect us with, you know, Krishna and his representatives of Sri Guru Dev. Yeah, so therefore it works. Right? And because that's going on, that we see that Sri Guru Dev comes and spends a lot of time in the Gurukul kind of circle. Right? Yes. Okay. Right. 14. The nature of transcendental Braja Lila is liable to be misunderstood by the empiric study of the Bhagavad. That's why we don't prefer a modern approach. is the modern approach. You have to put things in, you have to categorize and put things in this simply based on logic, mundane logic, not based on transcendental. So then the difficulty comes is then there's going to be a problem there. The limit of empiric inference is reached by the speculations of the paroksha method. By the abandonment of empiricism represented by the aparoksha method, the Brahman and Paramatma conceptions are realized. So only when you give up that, then you can actually understand Brahman and Paramatma. But before that, they can only understand just aspects of the material world. So that means the modern methods of empiricism will not get you past that. So why would we want to use those methods? Why would we want to base education on those methods? They're faulty methods. That's like saying, okay, you know, we want to go to Calcutta and that. Yeah, well, I have this friend over here and he's got this, an old scooter and all that and it doesn't go very well, but, I'm sure within, if we, worked with it and all that, we could probably be to Bamanpakur maybe by the evening, and stuff like that and, pushing it half the time, but... Yeah, and we have the little wheel in the back that's connected to it, a generator that you have a hamster running around in. Yeah, so
will you carry the generator?
Let the hamster drive, you hold on to it, because he's too small, he can't hold it. Does that make sense? So why would we use a faulty system when we have a better system? So that's the difficulty here. And they're so proud of their... academic method, right? It's just like that. Yes.
The answer to this question, why, is that many times the answer would be it's easier to relate because we come from that kind of background.
Who's we, white man?
We, yes.
Yeah, who's this we? Where I grew up, alternative is, it's like in Russia. Mainstream is, boring. Alternative is the thing. Right? And there's as many of those as there are Americans. If America's the world, then that means, Russia's also equally the world. So that's the whole point, is that we go by our own thing. It's easier, but... Yes. So do you want something that's just easier? Do you want something that's good? So if that's the case, then why are we going for this whole big striving for these using this corporate management system that in 20 years they still can't get devotees to understand? So much work, effort, money is going in. Why not just do something very easy? Because no one knows any management. They didn't go, a few people do. So therefore, go with non-management. You know what I'm saying? Because if you have people who can't manage and they're trying to use a system that requires management abilities and they don't have it, and therefore it's not working.
Right.
So therefore then, there's nothing you can do about that. Why not? Then you have to depend on Krishna. So why not just drop the system and depend on Krishna? It worked before. 108 temples were running and not necessarily very many of them were managers. And they had some of them, 100 or more devotees in them. The standard was 30 devotees, full time. Little dinky place, you had 15 devotees. Now a standard temple is that you have five. Well, okay.
Three of the devotees.
Yeah, like that. Then you had Prabhupada. Yes, the son, you didn't forget about him. And the Pujari, right? So, yeah, they have five. They have, three Russians and two Bengalis. At least one thing's universal, right? So the point is, since when is easy the thing? So then if that's the thing, then we should all just be eating junk food. That's easier. Just open the top and eat it. I remember once as a kid, he was the elder brother of a friend. And somehow or another, there was something that there was a bag of chips. You know, it means chips means the thin wafers.
Like a snack.
Yeah, yeah, like snacks. You know, like Lay's potato chips, like that. Because some places call them wafers, some call them chips.
Yeah, we call them chips.
Yeah, okay. So then, somehow or another, in that, there was always the element of, you have a big bag of that, and then you sit around and eat that. So then the rule is whoever eats quicker gets the most, right? So I would eat it, you know, you pick out one chip and then you put it in your mouth and pick out another. They would pick out four or five and stick it in their mouth. Needless to say, who got more, right? And the elder brother, of course, is going to work, right? Then one time there was a competition who could eat their bag of chips the quickest, right? So then, you know, they start, you know, they rip, they, oh, what do you, because the guy, one guy opens his bag, starts eating, the other guy doesn't. He takes the bag and smashes it until everything is just powder. Opens the bag, puts it all in his mouth in one shot, and that's it. Because, you know, what you see, if you squish up the chips, there's this little dinky hand, little amount in there, like, you know, like half a cup or something or less. Huh? Yeah. So easy is, that's easy. You know? Or the scientific thing, remember there was, I don't know if you're ever exposed to it, but before it was the ideas that with science they come up with a thing, just, you know, one pill and you'd eat that and you'd never have to eat. Yeah. But the whole point is who wants to not chew on things?
That's why it fails.
Yeah, of course it will fail, because the normal thing is to eat things and taste things and talk with people and, you know, interact. And So somehow or another, this idea of easy, but then easy also can mean cheap. Because easy can mean you've gone across the ocean of knowledge and come to that understanding of conclusions. So therefore, that mastery makes things easy. Or it can be that it's very basic, not even fundamental, just very basic, where just a few details that basically everyone can deal with. And that's the farthest you'll get. So then why do we talk sophistication and society and community and all those kind of things? Because that requires a much more sophisticated system. So you have basic, you have sophisticated, and you have mastery. So if you always discuss mastery, then people are going to get through as far as they can. And you'll be able to run much better systems. You know, but otherwise, then they're just like corporate, because it's easier. Because in corporate management, there's zero responsibility for the personal development of anyone in the system. Zero. As long as you make profit of whatever you define as profit, that's corporate. Right? So it can be personal when, I mean, it's personal when we talk to the individual so that they feel real, but it's impersonal how we make the decisions. It's not about people, it's about profit. Right? Well, governance, it's the opposite. Right? Means you're dealing because how individuals respond. And then you may make rules that will ensure that. Does that make sense? But there you have to be able to think about how does it benefit, how will the people be protected? And protected for us means God conscious. So that's difficult, because that means if you're worrying about raising the character of the individuals of the society, you yourself have to be character driven. You have to be yourself practicing character. Well, corporate, you only need as much character as makes the profit roll. You know, more than that, it you know, if you get too much good qualities, people won't make as much profit, because they'll want to be more, they get sentimental. And if there's too little, then it falls apart, because no one can work with each other and trust each other. So you have to find that perfect balance of, how you say, personalized and personalism. You know what I'm saying? So that's easy. corporate, so, but governance is another detail. So you see, then Brahminical is another one above that, where you can be involved, give direction, but you have nothing to gain from it. So that means only, it's not you strive, you have to have character to do it. You have to have knowledge and understanding, otherwise you can't function. So, the Vedic, it's based on these top two. Corporate, and that happens anyway. Chanakya, you know, in Arthashastra, that's 2,500 years ago. He's giving the rules on corporations. Yeah, they've always been there. Corporations are always there. If you have vaishyas, you have corporations. You know, if the guy's just selling pawn down on the corner in that little stall underneath the guy with the one on the top. Well, actually, the pawn guy's up. Generally, the pawn guy's up. The cigarette guy's the one that's down, right? You know, so you know, but if it gets, as it gets bigger, you always, big vaishyas means corporations. They always have. So you always have monopolies. You always have, though, all those are dealt with. You know, banking, how interest goes, all that. All these are dealt with. So it's just normal stuff that's always been there. So that's going to happen. You just have to control it. Vaishyas, you don't make vaishyas. You just see that they don't ruin the society, basically. But you have to create kshatriyas and brahmins. They're not default. Because it's based on the character. Does that make sense? Because many times good, successful businessmen have no character. Right? They have to have enough to socially look like they do, but they don't have to have any. But the kshatriyas and brahmins actually have to have character. Otherwise, if it only looks like they do, at some point it shines out and it makes trouble. I just saw something, I think it was a news headline. Another one of these Japanese, someone in a role of some kind of leadership, they've just found something wrong with them. And Japan, it's always every few months, somebody in some leading role in the Japanese society is always being taken down. Cause everyone's so surprised that they have bad character. The whole society is just about money, and then they wonder why someone has bad character. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the point is you can use these systems if that's all there is, or that's what you have to work in. But if you have the original systems, why not learn them? Why not use them? Just because it's easier, okay. But at the same time, as easy means don't make meetings. Meetings are tough. Get everyone together in one place at a certain time, work out everyone's schedules. How long did it take to do that? That's not easy. So easy is just don't bother. You know, Gaur Purnima is there, you come for that, hang out, go back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the thing, the society ran very well without it, just with Krishna consciousness. Right? Because to use something else means qualification. So the thing is, if you use the corporate, it's not going to work. You use governance, it'll work. Because then means, it's like, let's say you have a whole room full of people who can't manage. Even if you train them in management, you're still going to get nothing. And one manager could do everything that they're doing. So therefore, if you teach governance, you use governance, those who have that ability will step forward, because they won't step forward for corporate. Because if they're going to put in that trouble, they should make some money. Right? So they'll be in corporate, but outside. Because the inside, we're using corporate to manage, and it's not management, so they don't want to be involved. They'll go out and use corporate because it makes them money. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So then those few managers will step forward, and they'll be able to manage it and organize it very nicely. You know what I'm saying? So it's not easier. That's why the Vedic is descending. You start at the top. You establish the Brahmins, then you can establish Kshatriyas, then you'll get the Vaishyas. It'll just happen. Because Vaishyas and Shudras will happen anyway. It's just a matter of whether they're directed and have character enough to be devotees. Because if they're devotees, then everybody works on the Brahminical on that side. Yeah.
when we say the Brahmins are the top,
right?
Some people say we really need a sannyasi because he's the top. We have to.
That's in the ashram side.
Okay.
But so when you're talking about Varna, Brahmin's the top.
Is it possible in the Varna ashram, Dharma, to have also sannyasi?
Sannyasi is in, because you said Varna ashram. So in the Varna side, it's Brahmins, and the ashram side, then it's sannyasis.
Okay. Perfect, thank you.
You know, so I mean, temple program, this and that, that's sannyasis. But, you know, management and all that, you don't need sannyasis.
No.
If they know management, they can give some direction, nice, but they're not the ones that are going to run it. Like that. Okay, 15. We have already seen that the activity of service is possible only on the plane of adhoksija, which yields the realization of majestic personality of the Absolute as Sri Narayana. A Prakriti of Vrajalila, the central topic of the Bhagavat, is the highest form of adhoksija realization. Right? In other words, adhoksija means how Krishna has entered everything. But we know that him as a person is the highest form of spiritual understanding. Right? Because the Brahman and Paramatma levels are lower, are subservient to Bhagavan. So, from adhoksija, then you can get somewhere. So that's using these other ones, aparokṣa, and below that, then especially when we use paroksha. Because aparoksha means it's not heard. We've gotten it from scriptures. It's experienced. Right? So then you can get the quasi, theistic, and where they go by the experiences. And, you know, like that, but they don't really necessarily care for Shastra. Transcendental and mundane sexuality. 16. The dalliances of Sri Krishna and Braja have a close resemblance to unconventional mundane amour. Sexuality, in all its forms, is an essentially repulsive affair on the mundane plane. It is, therefore, impossible to understand how the corresponding transcendental activity can be the most exquisitely wholesome service of the Absolute. 17. It is, however, possible to be reconciled to some extent to the truth of the narrative of the Bhagavatam if we are prepared to admit the reasonableness of the doctrine that the mundane world is the unwholesome reflection of the realm of the Absolute, and that this world appears on a scale of values that is the reverse of that which obtains in the reality, is the reverse of that which obtains in the reality of which it happens to be the shadow. So in other words, if we see it as it's a reflection of that, so it's just a shadow of the thing, then we can see it's, and values are reversed. So therefore, what we would think is something so great here that actually is not so great, then over there, you know, in other words, what's great here is not so great there, and what's great there is not so great here. So you can, to some degree, you can reconcile that for those who don't have, means by logic, people can appreciate that. 18. In the form of the narrative of the Bhagavat, the transcendental Vraja Leela manifests its descent to the plane of our mundane vision in symbolic shapes resembling those of the corresponding mundane events. Right, so the activities, they're descending in that. It seems to be the same, but it's the technique. The techniques are same. Why you're using techniques, what's your purpose in all that, that's what the difference is. Right? And then if you don't know techniques, then it starts to get weird from there. Yeah? 19. If we are disposed for any reason to underestimate the transcendental symbolism of the narrative of the Bhagavatam, we are unable to avoid unfavorable and hasty conclusions regarding the nature of the highest, the most perfect, and the most charming form of the loving service of the divinity, to which all other forms of his service are as the avenues of approach. So all the others are so that you can have the rasa dance. Right? So that means all the other activities are so that that can go on. Yeah. Yeah. So the transcendental position, we don't underestimate that. We won't understand how perfect it is. Because we have to understand it's through surrender, Krishna reveals. 20. Sexuality symbolizes the highest attraction and the acme of deliciousness in transcendental service. In the amorous performances of Raja, the secrets of the eternal life are exhibited in their uncovered perfection in the activity of the love of unalloyed souls. Right. So he's saying here the sexuality it symbolizes the highest attraction, because there you're having the aspect of the attraction is there to Krishna, but it has the most intimate aspects to it. So the expression of it has the greatest intensity of all the rasas, right? So that's why it's there. But if you don't see it according to its transcendental position, one will see it through the mundane, and therefore then it's unwholesome. So all it is that this is the medium because it gives the highest, most intimate interaction, the most intense. Right? So then that's the position. 21. We may notice in passing certain significant differences between Sri Krishna's amorous dalliances and the mundane sex activity, which should prevent any hasty conclusions. Right? So we should notice this in passing, right? One, in Brajalila, Sri Krishna is under the age of 11 years. And two, the spiritual milkmaids never conceive and bear children to Sri Krishna. The children born of Sri Krishna belong to the less perfect Lila of Dwarka. Right? So there they're married and all that. So we never see that the sexual aspect is not the point. The point is just that intimacy of the mood. And so then that form is used. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
In that presentation, sexuality is different from sex activity.
Yes, we can say it means it can include. But the point is on the mundane world, depending upon who you're dealing with, is that for it's all based on lust and these kind of aspects of something that of pleasing your own senses. And so then that the spiritual world is not about your senses, it's about Krishna's senses. And so then the intensity that's there, then that is brought out through this aspect. But it's the focus is not on that aspect. The focus is on the relationship, the mood, the interaction, the interaction of mood, the rasa, that is tasted. Like that. Like you see so many pastimes where Krishna comes, let's say like Dhanakeli, you know, or the Nokalila. Like Dhanakeli means what? The tax collector. Basically in the whole thing, he's never even touching Radharani. She's there with her gopis, and that, you know, it's the whole thing of the contrariness, the shyness, the elusiveness, you know, the forwardness of the masculine, like that. And so then he's coming and saying, you have to pay tax. And he's like, what do you mean? It just goes on and all this. Or he comes and complains about that they stole all his flowers. It's his forest. And so therefore they owe him, they have to pay tax for the flowers. Like that. Their point is what do you mean it's your flowers? This is Vrindavan. Right? The forest of Vrindadevi. They're her flowers. What do you got to do with them? Right? And so then he'll say, no, but she's my wife, so therefore, then it's my flowers. And then they all turn to Vrinda, you married this guy? You know? We never heard about, you know, so like this. It just goes, all these things are. So it doesn't, they don't even have to touch. But it's just based on the flavor that's amorous. So the mood and all that is in that. So that's what's being tasted, is that flavor. The sexual activities, that's not the important aspect. Here in the material world, we make it important. But that's not actually the point. Does that make sense? 22. To suppose the divine lila to be a product of anthropomorphic speculation is the greatest offense. We're just taking ours and projecting that because we get into these things, God gets into these things because we made up God. Right? But you see that a lot in these other, especially the polytheistic religions, you know, the demigods and all that, and they just do all the stuff that we do, and they're just more crazy about it. Right? The Bhagavat declares that the realization of the true nature of the Brajalila in pursuance of the Shrauta method. So there's the Shrauta method and the Aparoksha method. So we follow the Shrauta method. Shrauta is to hear. Is the only, it means the descending process. Right, rather than the others, I experience, so I have to ascend up through to experience, but I only get up to my experience. I don't take higher than experience. Is the only method for the conditioned souls afflicted with the disease of mundane sexuality. 23, the conventions of civilized society for the regulation of sexual relationships attain their ethical perfection in the Varnashram arrangement. Because right? In Varnashram, it'll actually be brought into its natural position, its natural relationship. Otherwise, so many others, they don't use Varnashram. They come up with all kinds of weirdo stuff for, you know, what's acceptable and what's not. Thus, a person belonging to the Varnashram society can readily appreciate the transparent moral purity of life on the plane of Vaikuntha and Ayodhya, although he cannot understand their esoteric nature. He can understand that there's something there, there's something, because you're following the rules and then it goes beyond, it's for Krishna. They'll catch that part. In those realms, the Godhead poses as the ideal monogamous husband. Right, so up to there, then they go. When you go into Dwarka, now you have a problem because now he's got 16,108 wives. So some may not be able to get into there. But in Vaikuntha, you know, then and in Ayodhya, then it works for them. 25. The conventions of marriage are abrogated altogether in Vrindavan, where the sanctity of wedlock becomes secondary and a foil to the amorous aspects of Sri Krishna in his fullest manifestation.
24
we didn't read 24. Oh, okay. The ethical restrictions of sex relations that are imposed at Ayodhya by the form of the monogamous marriage are relaxed at Dwarka, where the Absolute manifests his fuller personality and appears in the guise of the polygamous husband. Then the conventions of marriage are abrogated altogether in Vrindavan, where the sanctity of wedlock becomes secondary and a foil to the amorous exploits of Sri Krishna in his fullest manifestation. And they may talk about it, may this and that, you know, but it doesn't happen. 26. The spiritual function in its unalloyed form has a real correspondence to mundane activity, with the distinction that its objective, motive, activity, and instrumental are unalloyed spirit. Right? Because before it says the life that between and connection between a materialist and the pure devotee has nothing, and those in the spiritual has nothing to do with each other. They have absolutely nothing in common. Because we're talking about the mentality. But when we get down to the mentality, we establish that. The form, then he's going to say, it's going to have the same. A real correspondence. Because here is a reflection or a shadow of there. So it has that, but the point is the objective, motive, activity, and instrumental are unalloyed spirit. It's all transcendental. So that way it's different. This makes the inconceivable difference between the spiritual function and mundane activity. It also supplies a kind of explanation for the fact that those activities in Braj, which correspond to the most wholesome performances on the mundane plane, are comparatively speaking the least pleasing in the sight of Sri Krishna. You know, because they're reversed here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.